joining us as they do every month. And this segment brought to you by the Lorain County Public Health. And we have with us Katie Bevan, Health Promotions Program Manager, and also with us Scott Posna, Environmental Health Supervisor. So we're going to talk about some things related to the environment this morning, Katie, right?
That's right.
And we've got to talk about things. And we've had a gardening expert, horticulturalist Charles Benke, stop by. We talk about pests and things like that. And even had people, here locally to tell us about the ticks. And now, is this a bad tick season? And what can we do to kind of protect ourselves about that?
Yeah, good question. This time of year, late spring, summer through early fall is tick season. So every year it may change a little bit. This year happens to be one of the bumper crop years for ticks. So there's quite a few out there. And ways to protect yourself would be simply just to take a look at your person after you come in from a walk in the field. Take a look at your pants, wear light-colored clothing if you can. That light background will help the ticks show up quite easily. And what we found with some of our own staff is the ticks tend to climb and like to go into the seams of your pants. So look in those hard-to-find areas, and if you have any ticks, you should be able to spot them.
Now, if they're on your pants, that's, I don't say sort of a good thing. It's better than having crawling on your leg because they're not attaching. If they attach to your pants, what's the big deal, right, is that point. But once they attach to you, talk about what you need to do to properly remove them and what we should be worried about.
Yeah, most oftentimes when people report a tick to us, they said, I found it walking around on myself, which is good. It hasn't fed. But in that event, which it has fed, it's burrowed in, it's drawing blood from the person. You want to remove it safely. If you have the ability you have tweezers nearby, you can grab the head of it with tweezers and pull it out gently. If you don't, just use your fingernails and try to pull it out gently. What you don't want to do is just smash it like some folks do with mosquitoes, because then the contents of the tick ends up oftentimes getting into your bloodstream.
Speaking of, like, when you get bit by a mosquito or some other insect, you kind of sort of feel the pinch, like that. I don't know if ticks provide that same thing, or do you just suddenly realize, hey, there's something attached to me, and what is this, that when it starts itching or getting irritated?
Yeah, again, most folks find ticks on themselves because they feel them crawling. But once they actually embed and start drawing blood, it's painless, you don't feel it, and the tick can go unnoticed. In fact, I think about half of the folks that actually have been diagnosed with Rocky Mountain spotted fever are unaware that they had a tick bite.
So that's really why we worry about the ticks, is all these diseases that they can spread. Now, what ticks are we finding in Ohio? Because you can Google ticks and find things that may not be in our region. What are the ones we're worried about? How can you kind of describe them, I guess, to us?
And what absolutely. We primarily, or I should say exclusively this year and in years past, we've had the American dog tick. That's by far the most common. The concern is with the black-legged, or what was previously called the deer tick. That's migrating its way northward and westward throughout the state. So that's the tick that's receiving a lot of communications as of late. That tick could be responsible for Lyme disease. So that's our concern at this point. There's also a Lone Star tick, which is more indigenous to the southern part of the state. So we don't often see that up here, but all the time as of this date, it's been the dog tick that people have brought in.
And I see that we got anywhere from a grain of sand to an apple seed. So that's quite a diverse, range of size of something.
Sure. A newborn, a nymph tick can be very, very small. So again, unless you're really actively looking at yourself after you've been out in the field or walking through a woods, you're not going to, see it.
And that's why I think making tick checks a habit is really important, and it's not something that a lot of people in Ohio have done regularly. Now, if you talk to friends who live on the East Coast, where Lyme disease is much more prevalent, checking for ticks on a daily basis or multiple times a day is really a habit of theirs. So it's just something to be really mindful of. You spend time outdoors or have a wooded area in your backyard or neighborhood, it's certainly something that you want to make sure is a habit. Checking yourself, your family, as well as your pets, because they can also receive disease from ticks.
That's a good point, Katie. Folks often check themselves, but they'll let the dog out, and the dog comes in, and oftentimes the dog can have ticks as well. So it's important to check your pet.
I've encountered pet ticks on my dogs on different occasions as well, and it's usually because I'm either grooming them or doing something, and you find that they find out of the way places. When you're checking yourself for ticks, are you just visually just looking? Are you brushing your arms, legs? What's the procedure really for doing that?
It's just a visual check.
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of look in the mirror and take a close look at yourself.
Yeah, feel around in your hair as well. And, if you see a freckle that's moving, there's a good chance that's not a freckle.
What about if they get into your house or your carpet or something like that? Is that how – do they like to come indoors? I mean, is that a habitat for them?
They'd prefer to be outside. Again, they can always get brought in, whether on a person or on a pet. As far as that goes, just, regular vacuuming and, again, identify look on your pets, look on yourself, and regular house cleaning should take care of it.
Now, what kind of medical attention might be needed, or what do we need to know? Let's say we did find a tick that had attached or whatever, and then we remove it. What kind of things happen after that?
Yeah, what you want to watch for is a lot of things have to happen, but if a tick has fed on you, you'll find it engorged. It'll get, almost the size of a small grape or a raisin. In that case, again, pull it off. You can consult with your physician, but what you want to be aware of is the rash, the telltale bullseye rash that folks will often get. And then there'll be signs of basically like flu-like symptoms, lethargy, maybe a little bit of a fever. And again, consult your physician if you
What do we do with this tick that we remove? Some people would just want to get rid of it, but is it important to keep it for any reason or hold on to it, or is there some kind of a thing we need to do to identify it?
Yeah, if folks want to identify, like I mentioned earlier, we're concerned about that black-legged deer tick. So if folks suspect that they have one, they can either drop it off at the health department, give us a call. Oftentimes if they send a picture electronically, I can identify it. Anybody who wants a tick identified, they can contact the health department and we will identify it for them.
Why is the light-colored clothing? I mean, that almost seems like the same thing we think of talk about with mosquitoes, or even using that DEET repellent or something like that.
Sure.
That helps, too. So they don't like light-colored clothing? Or is it,
it's just easier to spot them.
Oh, I got it.
Again, if you can imagine, like Katie had mentioned, like a freckle.
Okay.
A freckle's easier to see on white pants than it would be on blue jeans.
Okay. And let's talk, is there things we need to treat our yard with, or is that just... At this point, nothing.
Yeah, it's best just to keep your grass mowed. If you're walking outdoors, walk like in the mowed areas, the mowed paths. If you're in tall grass, you have a more better likelihood of having a tick attach itself to you.
Right.
There are some companies out there that can provide some tick control, but if a homeowner's interested, they can give them a call as far as a spray application.
And well, speaking of spraying, a lot of times we see it sometime during the summer, there's communities that will do things for mosquitoes at some point, depending on what the infestation is like. But you also kind of monitor mosquitoes, right? Tell me a little bit about that.
We do.
Process.
That's probably one of the things that the community understands the least. Everybody associates a mosquito control program with the spraying that occurs late July through the month of August. And that's the control of the adult mosquito. But we have some interns out in the communities now canvassing those communities for areas of standing water, which would be breeding mosquitoes. So it's quite a large task. They identify these areas that are breeding mosquitoes, treat it with a natural product. It's a bacterial product, and it makes those standing bodies of water incapable of supporting mosquito larvae.
And that's really, if you get it at the beginning, you don't have to deal with the mature mosquitoes.
Sure. It's a lot more cost effective to control it when they're in the larval stage and when they become adults.
So what are some of the things we can do besides trying to get rid of all those standing waters, the gutters, the play toys? I just recently was moving water off a pool cover, which I was thinking, hey, it's been sitting there. I bet there's something going on in there. I was trying to get that dried out. As far as that standing water, what other things can you do to kind of minimize the amount of mosquito that you get the bites and things like that?
Sure. Kind of police your own area. Many times folks associate mosquito problems with the biggest thing they can see, ponds, that kind of thing. Mosquito larvae need to breathe air. So any body of water that's moving will not breed mosquitoes. Small buckets, small containers, even things like a discarded water bottle will breed quite a few mosquitoes. So look for those small things on your property. And, as a community, if everybody had done that, that's really our best controls.
Right.
Also, anybody who sees something that they believe might be breeding mosquitoes can report it to the health department. We'll come out, take a look, and let them know what.
Okay. So you have, you know, running water in a stream, that's not going to get mosquitoes. You've got a person that has maybe a little bit of a ornamental pond with like a little fountain in it that has water. That's really not in the case for that. But like a bird bath would be something that could
right.
possibly do.
Yeah, anything that's stagnant. And another key point is it has to be stagnant for a 7-day or longer period. After a rainfall, sometimes folks will call us and say, hey, you know, my backyard floods for a day or two. That's not going to breed mosquitoes. 7 days or more, water has to be stagnant. Give us a call and we'll come out and take care of it.
So you do have a mosquito hotline, I see here. 284-3240, 440-284-3240. And again, for our purposes, if you're out, because people will start grilling, getting out, being outside different times of the day, light-colored clothing is always best, I think, for that. And where also the sprays, those type of things.
Yeah, any one of the retail mosquito repellents that you can purchase is a great way to control yourself against adult mosquito bites.
All right. Let's talk about the Buddy Connect program. Katie, there's this thing that started, what, about 6 months ago maybe?
Yeah,
or so?
Yeah. In the fall, Lorain County Public Health started, along with Lorain County Board of Mental Health, started a program called Buddy Connect, and it's an opportunity to connect older adults with new friendships and new relationships, because we know research tells us that when people have strong social connections, they are at a greater opportunity for overall health and wellness, better mental health. And so we know that those things are really important and they matter. And this program's going really well. We're still looking for additional volunteers to be a buddy, as well as anyone who's listening who might be age 55 or older. They would qualify to be a part of this program, to be connected with a volunteer. And so what a buddy and a volunteer do together is they connect over the phone 2 times a month, and then they also share in some time together at home. So they might play card games together or just talk about memories of when their kids were little or, you know, whatever it is, talking about Vietnam or whatever it is. And so it's just really an opportunity to connect with people. And then we also have some social outings. So yesterday, for example, all of the buddies and volunteers got together out at Shoffley Gardens, Lorain County Metro Parks, and went on a tram ride and, you know, enjoyed talking and connecting over lunch together. So it's just an opportunity to really bring people together and hopefully reduce social isolation, because we know that as people age, that just becomes more of a risk for individuals.
And that's really, it relates to their health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why the Lorain Public Health is involved in, Lorain County Public Health involved in something like that. Especially these, we get to these hotter months, you never know what kind of, you know, if there's utilities problems, if, you know, are they getting out? Are they staying hydrated? Sometimes people forget that type of thing. So it's good to have that. If people want to get involved in that Buddy Connect program, how do they
sign
up for that?
Yeah, they can call the health department or specifically call 440-567-4120. And what's really great about connecting older adults with a volunteer is that the volunteer works with one of our nurses really closely to connect those people with resources. Like you mentioned, you know, is it too hot? Are there windows open to let in fresh air? Do they need assistance with heating in the winter months? Or do they need to get connected with a home-delivered meals program, like Meals on Wheels? And so that is all happening kind of behind the scenes between the volunteer and one of our public health nurses.
Sounds good. I understand you have some emergency preparedness coming up. Tell us about a little preview about this.
Yeah. So coming up on July 12th, Lorain County Public Health, with a bunch of partners, including the Emergency Management Agency and a bunch of police and fire departments, we're working together to have an emergency preparedness exercise. And it really just is that. It's an exercise to kind of strengthen our skills as a community. So should a large-scale emergency take place, we just want to make sure that we truly are prepared to best meet the needs of people who live and work in Lorain County. And so this is an exercise that's taking place at Lorain County Community College out in the field house out there. And so anyone who is interested in kind of checking out, like, what would it look like if there were an emergency and what could we expect, this would be a chance for residents or anyone interested to come out between the hours of 9 a.m. and noon on July 12th at Lorain County Community College. And so what they can expect that day is to kind of walk through, receive a chance to kind of register, because this would have to happen during a large-scale emergency if there was medication that needed to be distributed or whatever. And during this exercise, we'll really be simulating an anthrax outbreak. And so that's kind of something interesting to consider. And so you would come in, register yourself, and you would kind of go through some motions. You would receive an example of what it would be like to receive medication should an emergency be happening. And then you would go through and receive some education. So what would be the next step in an anthrax outbreak? And then you'd be able to go home or take some additional medication to your neighbors if they were homebound or some things like that. So all of this is going to be happening. And it's kind of interesting because there's a lot of emergency preparedness plans in place, you know, binders and plans that are revised on an annual basis. But to actually have it take place in a large scale is going to be really interesting.
I guess, and Scott, have you ever been involved in something?
Well, I have. That? Yeah, we've practiced that. And as Katie pointed out, you know, you can plan as much as you want on paper, but I often equate it to swimming. You could read a lot of swimming books, but until you swim, you haven't done a thing.
Right.
So, you know, the plan on paper might look good, but once it's actually put into practice, then you really find out the details and what needs to be tweaked. So
you can simulate chaos on a piece of paper sometimes.
Exactly.
Right? And what other people will be. And you talk about if the numbers of people were there. If you had all these people showing up, how do you organize them? How do you keep them following correct orders?
Yeah. You know, and how do we account for people who speak a different language and things like that? And so this is all being considered on a regular basis. And so we are looking forward to having this opportunity. And we really do need individuals to come out. So we want people to come and explore what would it look and sound like and feel like that in an emergency.
Right.
And then by people coming that day, they'll really be assisting us to exercise our skills and strengthen our knowledge of how would this really play out. So,
and I know next week or in coming weeks here, we'll be talking a little bit more about that, getting details on it, just to see how it takes place. And that, of course, the exercise ultimately allows you to say, hey, the plan we have kind of works. We see where maybe there's a hole that needs to be filled. And then you cross your fingers and hope nothing like this really happens.
Exactly.
In real life, very well. We appreciate you both coming in this morning from the Lorain County Public Health. Scott Posna, Environmental Health Supervisor. Remember to keep an eye out for those ticks and drain those standing waters for mosquitoes. And Katie Bevan always joining us for this segment. Thanks very much for stopping in today. If people want to find out more, where's the good site to check out things? Is it?
Check out LorainCountyHealth.com or give us a call and talk to a real person at 440-322-6367.
That's great.